This is the MagicWordPodcast.com.
Good morning. This is Scott Wells for the MagicWordPodcast.com. I know I sound chipper and quite alert, but I tell you, I think I'm getting too old for this. I'm catching a 5:50 flight. That's 5:50 a.m., which meant that I had to get up at 3 o'clock here this morning to take a shower and get things in the car and to the airport. And here I am now waiting my magic carpet at the Southwest Airlines terminal in the Hobby, Houston Hobby Airport. Anyhow, I tell you, boy, until I get some more sponsors to help fund this so I can get a better ticket later in the day, I'm going to have to continue to take these early morning flights that are a lot cheaper, actually. But here we are, getting ready to wing our way over to Las Vegas for the, well, what's become almost an annual event, that is the gathering of about 1,600 magicians. I guess that there was the movie 300. This should be the 1,600. Anyhow, I'm going to be going to Magic Live at the Orleans Hotel, and it ought to be pretty darn awesome. A lot of fun. I'm looking forward to being with 1,599 of my closest friends who will be here, and I apologize if I've left some of you out who are not in attendance. You two are my friends, and I thank you guys for listening and also for being my friend at other conventions and seeing you. Nevertheless, as always, we have no idea who's going to be showing up. Stan likes to keep this a surprise. And the reason he does, for those of you who may not be as familiar with Magic Live, is that this was originally based upon his magazine, Magic Magazine, in which that as you received it each month, you had no idea who was going to be on the cover, nor what each page would reveal when you would turn the page. And so the idea is, again, each day that we don't know what's going to be happening from one day to the next as we would go from one page to the next, nor who's going to be featured in the evening shows and everything until we actually get there. And another nice thing is that he always gives out lecture notes at the end of the day from those programs that were presented throughout the day. And again, this is at the Orleans Hotel, and I'm sure this will be chock full of a lot of surprises. You know, I was just thinking as I was driving in here this morning, and a recollection, I guess, of one of my better memories of last year's convention. And what I really enjoyed was this box, this puzzle box thing. It was a fun thing in which that each of us were given certain times to go in, and there were, I don't know, 120 boxes or something, very unusual boxes and locks and things in which that we were supposed to go from one to the next, and you would find a clue that would take you to the next, and it was kind of like a scavenger hunt, and it was just a heck of a lot of fun, very interactive, and it was magic. I don't know what else to say. It was really unusual, not the normal kind of thing that you would see at a magic convention. But then again, I think that's what Stan does, is tries to walk that fine line on the tightrope, or as he likes to say, the razor's edge. And people want to see if he's going to fail. And he's been right on it every year. It seems like it, some years, as all conventions, are better than others, but his is always great. And I'm looking forward to being there and having a chance to chat with a lot of guys and gals who will be in attendance, including some of the organizers, of course, the talents and the registrants. Of course, we're going to have to go around and make our usual stop at my favorite place, the In-N-Out Burger, and I'll bring you along for that as well. Right now, as I said, I'm in Houston at the Hobby Airport, and time right now is, what is the time? My goodness, it's 4:32 a.m. Yeah, that means morning. Anyhow, I just got my first cup of coffee over at Dunkin' Donuts. That's the only thing that's open. Not even the kiosks are open. If there's one good advantage, I guess, of being this early in the morning, you get your choice of any of the donuts because they're not all picked over. And so I got a couple of my favorites. I got a sour cream donut and a double chocolate, just in case you're wanting to know what I'm having here this morning with my large coffee to kind of keep me awake for a while. The trip from Houston to Las Vegas is a couple of hours, so by the time that I get there, then go get my luggage and a rental car. I'm expecting to meet up with one of the friends of the Magic Word, who is one of our supporters, financial supporters, Daniel Will, and I'll see Daniel, and we'll go over to the hotel and check in. And then I've got another person that I want to go and visit. for breakfast. So got a lot of things planned for this week already, and I'm going to stick around for a few days on the back end of this event then as well. All right, well, I'm going to have some coffee, have a couple of donuts, and then I'm going to walk on down to my gate and wait, because we're going to be loading here at about 5:20. So that's all there is to report right now in Houston, but buckle up, Buttercup. This is going to be a great convention. Until I see you on the other side over in Las Vegas, this is Scotty out. All right, well, before we get to Las Vegas, that I ran into a friend of mine here from Houston who is also winging his way to Magic Live along with me, and that's Mr. Jeff Copeland. Hi there, Jeff.
Howdy.
We are, see, that's what we say in Texas, is howdy. So we are here actually aboard Southwest, and you don't hear a lot of people in the background because they're probably complaining that they're trying to sleep and we're talking. Anyhow,
is
I wanted...
Is it Saturday or Sunday?
Yeah, you're right. It may be Saturday night still. I don't know. It's so early.
My eyes are red.
Well, hence the name for this flight, yeah. The red eye. Exactly. It really is. And I'll let you go back to sleep as soon as we finish, but I just wanted to chat with you briefly because this is going to be your first Magic Live as a dealer. Now, let me just kind of back up, I guess, because for those of you who may not know Jeff, that he has a company. What's the name of the company that you have?
It's CopelandCoins.com.
CopelandCoins.com. And he is the one who had created Blackbird that Murphy's sells. And, of course, Murphy's is one who I do reviews for. And although I've not reviewed that particular thing, he's been very successful with that gimmick for the last couple of years, and for the last 1 year he's had his own coin company, and you might have seen him at Blackpool at the convention as a dealer there. And this is going to be, again, your first time as a dealer at Magic Live, although not your first Magic Live.
Yeah, so it'll be my second Magic Live, and it's a great convention, and first time as a dealer, so this is pretty much my first year as a dealer. This will be the sixth convention of the year. It's been quite a few. So.
Wow, what else? You said Blackpool, but where else have you been?
I guess of the calendar year, I've been to Trix, Scott Robinson's convention in right. North Carolina and Charlotte. I've been to Magi Fest. Mm-hmm. I did the 4F and Monty, as the Monty convention there.
Right, the day after.
And then, maybe I'm out of order. It is early. I'm going to do the TOM, TAOM. It's going to be in Houston this year.
Yep, coming up Labor Day weekend, just a couple weeks, right.
Yeah, excited about that one. So then I'll be, I think, was that up 6 or 7? I don't know. It's quite a few. I've done some, you know, local little lectures for some of the clubs and things like that. It's
You got your video equipment with you here as well, so you're going to be recording some stuff. What's going on?
Right, so hopefully you'll catch some good tricks in the lobby. I love to see what the guys are doing. You know, this it'd be an international convention, so
right.
Like to see what's going on, share some of that stuff on Instagram and Facebook. But also, I'm real excited. My good buddy Rick Holcomb is going to film a couple of downloads, and mm-hmm. That's kind of going to be, I think, where Copeland Coins is going to start heading into 2019. We're going to start featuring some other artists and get some other guys on board, and kind of won't be just me. It's going to really broaden the brand a little bit.
So they're not necessarily just coin tricks, but they are gimmick coins that you're making.
Right, so I'm working really hard on getting shells and copper silvers. If you guys are out there, is it okay to plug
sure.
a visit? Okay.
Sure.
CopelandCoins.com. I've got some original crafted copper and bronze coins, and they're right to the specs of silver dollars and half dollars. They create some really cool magic, and we're going to try to get some gimmicks, some gaffs out for these coins in the upcoming months.
And so if anybody out there has an idea for some uses with these coins, they should be getting in contact with you, or if they've got perhaps an idea for a new gimmick that should be made, as you said, you're soliciting new creators.
Yeah, everything, absolutely.
How can they contact you?
CopelandCoins.com, click on contact. That would be the easiest way.
Yeah.
That would give me a direct email, and then we can be in touch. Yeah.
Now, I know that Stan Allen always likes to have the dealers to have some new stuff when they present there. I mean, this isn't going to be... Most conventions, of course, will have dealers. They bring just the usual stuff. But he says one of the requirements, as I understand it, is for dealers to introduce something new at this convention that they haven't had before. What have you got new that's going to be here?
Yeah, well, so this year I've got a project that's called Realme. And it's featuring my new teaching method. If you guys have checked out the brand, I call it Dave. It's the digital annotated video experience. It's short for Dave. Yeah. Okay. It's a magic name, right?
Kind of like Hal from 2001. It sounds kind of crazy.
Funny, actually, somebody made some fan art. It's on my Facebook, and it's Hal's talking to Dave.
That's funny. It's funny.
It's pretty good. So Dave, basically what he does, it's an annotated video, digital annotated video experience. And so if you've seen, like, the annotated Erdenes by Darren Ortiz, or that same, like, old vein of the old, something like an old Bible with commentaries on the outside, it's the same thing. I've commentated on the video. So it combines lecture notes and video together. So it's a really quick learn.
That's interesting.
Yeah.
And that's available through your...
It's available, yeah. So that will be featured on Realme. It was on the first project I released, Treasure, and download Corner Pocket. So it's three tricks now that we've got out that have this teaching method, and it's got 100% five-star reviews.
Yeah. Now, do you know about how many other dealers are going to be there?
There are 40-something, maybe 50. It's a pretty big room.
I know that since they no longer have the magazine, that he has expanded this, because it used to be that he would limit the dealers to those who have been advertising in the magazine. And so, obviously, since there is no hardcover magazine anymore, it's opened it up. So I'm sure there are more.
Yeah. So, for example, I wasn't in business to advertise in Magic, so now I'm available to come in.
Yeah,
they made some changes, which I don't know what I'm allowed to talk about at this point. When does this go live?
It'll go out tomorrow. Tomorrow. On Monday. So anything that you can tell us is going to happen tonight, because no one will know it this until tomorrow.
Okay. Well, you guys will probably see some pictures online and whatnot of the new layout to the dealer room.
It's going to be a different layout?
Yeah, I said it.
Okay.
I said it. But this is going to go live, right? I don't want to
No, 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 you won't. I remember in previous years it was kind of neat because they had like in a figure eight, like an infinity kind of a thing. So you continued in this big loop. But also that he also wanted to have each one of the booths to have some sort of unique identity. Where that, for an example, Losander had like this German castle type of a thing. It was kind of cool. And I believe Kevin James had something that looked like a big top circus or something. And different people have different themes. Not everybody. I mean, H&R didn't have a bookstore, you know, kind of a thing. But some of the guys had I've forgotten who all. Anyhow, there were different kinds of themes that they've had in the past.
Yeah, that's the great thing about this convention. I mean, the first year I went, they had, I think, a Roaring Twenties theme or something. Was that a couple years ago?
That's right. Now, that was a couple of years ago, yeah, like for the Sunday night ice cream social.
Yeah, it was a really cool party. I remember somebody was dressed up as Vernon doing... the cutouts.
Yeah. Jared Knopf, I think it was.
Kopf was
doing that.
Silhouettes.
Silhouettes. So anyhow, yeah, it looks like it'll be a lot of fun. Good seeing you, Jeff. Good luck.
Yeah, thanks, guys. Thanks for having me on, and I appreciate
you bet. This opportunity. That was Jeff Copeland for the Magic Word Podcast. This is Scotty out. Hello, Scott Wells here for the MagicWordPodcast.com, and we are now at the Gambler's General Store. I always make it a point to come here every year whenever we have Magic Live to come out and to do a little bit of browsing and buying. And if you guys are not familiar with this place, you should be. Every magician should stop by here because it is... a close-up magician's dream. I mean, they have all of the bicycle playing cards and more, and a lot of other cards from casinos, old and new. And I'm going to talk here for a moment with Jessica, who is, are you the manager? Are you just employee?
Yeah, just an employee.
Okay, so tell me something about this place. I know it's been here for a long time, but I mean, like, you got square... How many square feet? It's a big place.
I'm not sure, but it's very big.
But you got like books and also lots of chips and what all?
We got the cards. We got a lot of games, the books, chips. We got poker tables, the layouts, everything.
Yeah, you want to have a blackjack table, you can have your own table with the felt and everything like that.
Uh-huh, definitely. We do custom chips as well, custom layouts, custom
cards. We say custom
cards.
Chips. You can have custom chips with your name, your business, like a business card. You can give out kind of a thing.
Yeah, your face, anything you need it for.
And how much does that run?
It's a $75 setup fee with a 100 chip minimum, starting at 79 cents each chip. The more chips you get, the lower in price, of course.
Yeah. That's kind of cool.
Anything you want on it.
That is very cool.
Yes.
And do you also print playing cards as well, or just chips?
We do playing cards as well, so if you wanted a picture or a name or something, we do that as well.
Now, this place is not only so big here, but you also have behind you or beside you have then another...
Yeah, the administrative office, all the back stock. We have the warehouse behind that building, so very big place.
A lot of stuff that you got then over here then, too. How many decks of cards would you say that you have different to decks?
thousands.
Thousands.
Too many to count.
And that's my whole point, I think, guys and gals, whenever that you get a chance to come here. I mean, this is a place that you can browse, and you can't come out of here without spending a little bit of money, certainly, and some decks of cards that you can't find really any places. What would you say is one of the most popular things that you sell here?
Would be the chips and the cards, definitely. Mm-hmm. Chips, cards, and the books.
What about cards? I mean, what is, I mean, just regular bicycle or cards or like some particular casino that is bigger, more popular?
Well, we have the casino cards. We have the magic cards, of course. We have character cards, just all kinds of cards, mm-hmm. different pictures on 52 different cards. So they're all different.
Now, I know that you have a lot of different casinos that have since been torn down and everything, and you got a lot of their cards and chips and dice from those places as well. What would you say is the most popular casino that is no longer standing that people ask about? You mean like the Dunes, Sahara?
Both, actually. Okay. A lot of them. Mm-hmm. So, yeah. Too many. Too many. Too much stuff.
What is one of your favorite things that you got here?
Would be the dice, of course. We have a lot of dice.
Yeah. All colors. I mean, not just black or white with black, but...
They have like the pigs and the frogs and different animals on them. Those are really cool. We have the rounded dice, a dice inside a dice, mm-hmm. Eight-sided dice, all kinds of dice. So lots of dice.
I know that there are some stores that will specialize in crooked gambling things. Now, everything here is all straight. I assume you don't have anything that's going to be for entertainment purposes only that are crooked?
We have the loaded dice. One of the dice is all fives, the other one's six and two, so guaranteed to roll 7 or 11 every time. But they're not weighted. Yes, and the marked cards, of course, so you know what card's what card.
Mm-hmm. Okay, do you have to wear glasses, or are they just marked normally?
Some of them are easy to read. There's some that you do need glasses. They have very small print.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Interesting. Well, great. Thanks, Jessica, very much. I appreciate you being on here, and I'm just telling everybody that if you get a chance, you need to come out. What is the address?
It's 800 South Main Street, Las Vegas, Nevada, 89101.
And for those who are overseas who are listening, and we talked about having poker chips with your name or face and whatever else on it, you can also do that online, and your website would be what?
www.gamblersgeneralstore.com.
There you go. You guys need to stop by here or at least go visit their website. It's a must-see place for every magician, I think, that comes to Vegas. So, for now, from the Gamblers General Store, General Warehouse? General Store. This is Scotty out. Okay. All right, well, we are now getting our photos taken, and I'm waiting in line with... Actually, we just had our picture taken with... Bill Malone, I think he just broke the camera. They're trying to repair something over here. I don't know.
Yeah,
what
I don't think they're going to be able to repair that. I really
Holy
don't.
Cow,
Thank
who
you.
Is
oh, that?
That
came out great.
Yeah, better than I thought.
God. Boy, if I wasn't married, I'd go for me.
Hello,
that's a great picture.
Yes.
Hello, I'm. So, hi, everybody in the podcast world.
Well, we're glad to have you here. You're not going to be presenting this year, though, are you?
All right. No, I couldn't say if I
if
was,
you were.
But I'm not.
Okay.
But I'm just here to hang out and have fun. But maybe later we could sit down and talk for a while and
I'd
catch
like
up.
To.
It's been a long time.
I want to talk about just a lot of stuff, but just briefly that you've been to many of these Magic Lives. This is just for tomorrow's podcast I'm going to be putting out. So just real briefly, that how many of these have you attended? Most of them?
I think quite a few. I think maybe I missed one or two.
Yeah.
Yeah, I always love Magic Live because it's not even the shows and lectures as much as it is the
people.
The people, yeah.
The
Everybody
friends,
who's anybody is here. It's just great.
You're
and you look and you,
and
you, by the way, look great in men's clothes. I think that's that really it's a switch.
Yeah,
you know,
I'm coming
it's very
out.
Nice.
I'm
I like
out
it.
As a,
I like
as
it.
A heterosexual.
You're going in. No, I think you're going in, yeah. But no,
you had also hosted a fantastic little chat with a couple of the great card guys here. Was it last year, the year before?
Oh, yeah, with my friends Steve Forte and Ron Connolly.
Right, right.
Yeah, that was fun.
And that could have gone on for a lot longer.
It
looked like you were having fun. It was just a nice
chat.
It was
fantastic. I mean, we would have liked to have gone on forever, but it's hard doing card stuff on a huge stage, you know, versus up close to you.
Right.
But we all loved it. Steve had a great time.
Yep, it was well. It's perfect, of course, being in Las Vegas, where they would be the gurus, I guess, of kind of being the consultants for cheating and gambling and whatnot. So,
right.
That's great. So anyhow, glad that you're here. We'll
talk
again.
Thanks a lot. It's really good to see you, my friend.
Good seeing you too. Okay.
Yeah.
So
okay.
The Magic Word Podcast. That's Bill Malone, Scott Boyle, Scotty out. All right, well, as I am just about to get my picture taken or have it all finished and everything, then a couple of the guys that I thought you might like to hear from, Charles Bach. Hey, Charles.
Hi.
And Kevin James. Hi, Kevin.
What's up?
So I'm glad that you guys are here, and this is how now, did you just come straight from from Colon? Did you go to Abbott's this year, Kevin?
No, I came straight from my house about 15 minutes from here.
Okay, I didn't know if you went over, because I just had breakfast with Fielding West, and he flew in yesterday in order, because he was doing something on this, so he was there. So I just wondered how many, you weren't there, I suppose, were you, Charles?
No, I was also 15 minutes away at home.
You have been, though, to Colon. You've been through Colon.
I've been through Colon. I haven't done the convention.
Okay. So how many?
Insert your own joke.
That's right. Michael Moe did. If you guys, if I ask you if you are going to be on the program, you can't answer anyhow. But have you been on? You've been on the program, Kevin, haven't you?
Visually, I'll answer.
Okay. Okay. Interesting. So I can't tell you whether it's yes or no. Okay. Good answer. Because I know it's always a secret, so that's kind of cool.
Yeah.
And I know this is a completely different, and I haven't figured out what the theme is. Have you, as far as the questions, I guess this is supposed to, what does this mean, you think?
I don't even know where I am. I just got here.
You really just woke up. When you say you just came over from the house, you just kind of woke up. So you're off the tour, off the Illusions tour for a little while then?
Until November, yeah.
And then you go back to New York City, or?
No, we're going to do Australia.
Okay.
And over the Christmas season. And then I'll be on the European tour next year.
Are there any new changes, or will it be the same people? I say same people. I thought that I heard Jeff was going to be off for a while, or is he on? Or?
I think Jeff is going to do the North American tour again.
Okay.
I don't know all the details, but...
Now, is Charlie Fry with you on the Australian tour, or is that separate?
I have no idea. I really don't know who else is on the show.
Okay. I saw Charlie over there earlier. I should have asked him. Because he was doing... That was a different one, wasn't it? The Illusionist 1805 or something kind of a thing?
1903.
Okay.
1805 is pretty good.
Yeah, well, it's even older. Yeah. Okay. And, Charles, I was just reading something just recently where there was... Isn't there a book that was recently just written about Chappie?
Yeah, there was a tribute in Vanish Magazine for this month that just came out.
Yeah.
A really nice tribute. Ben Robinson out of New York, he and I were working the castle a couple weeks ago, and he told me a story about meeting Chappie and the influence it made on him, watching him work on the street and doing street performing, and it made a big impression on him.
Because I know you guys were best friends, weren't you?
Yeah, we were very close. And this is the 20th anniversary of his passing, and... Ben told me the story and said, I want to write something about it for the anniversary. And together we wrote a little...
Can you tell that briefly for people who don't know? Chappie's, I'm sorry, last name is...
Brazil.
Brazil. Went completely blank there for a moment. Real briefly.
Chappie was a street performer in New York, came out to work at Caesar's Magical Empire, and he was probably the best watch thief I've ever seen. Mm-hmm. His street performing skills were amazing. His comic skills, really outstanding. Mm-hmm. And he was like... really up and coming, really, really great performer. And we finished making the Watch Steal video, which is a popular magic video. And the day we finished it, he was on his way to my house, and there was an accident, and we lost.
And he was a motorcycle.
It was a motorcycle, and a.
Yeah, it was tragic, very tragic, tragic. And how many of these have you been to? How many Magic Lives in Charles?
This is my first Magic
Live.
No
way!
I've never been home. I've always been on a ship at the same time. So this is first I've been home, and I'm excited.
Okay. And you've been here how many times, you think, Kevin?
Oh God, I've been to most of them.
Oh, I think I've missed two.
Yeah, probably the same.
Mm-hmm. This is always a great time. You're in for a real treat because there are so many things. I was just saying earlier that one of my memories from last year was the puzzle boxes. Remember that we all had to go around and figure that out, and it was kind of like one clue led to another clue, and it was a different kind of magic. I think. What are some memories of past Magic Lives that? That come to mind immediately for you?
Well, you know, the dealer's room is always pretty high level. Yeah. And the afternoon talks for me are super entertaining and totally informative. And it's like TED Talks, but for magic. And and I always learn something, and it's great fun.
Yep, it is. You know, and I understand, although the dealer's room hasn't opened yet, but it's going to be a different kind of configuration such that every dealer will have a corner booth. So basically there will be four people in each little block, you know, kind of a thing. So as you go around, everybody will have a corner booth. So it's kind of cool.
Wow.
A little bit different. I'm tipping something here for you guys. Don't spread that around.
And the opening night party is always a blast because then they kind of open the dealer's room at the same time. And
we have big ice cream social.
It's all exciting.
You know if there's a theme tonight?
I'm going to read the book right now.
It's too late. I mean, I'm not dressed to go whatever the theme, because I know that last time it seems like they had the 50s had a sock hop kind of a thing. I remember Johnny Thompson was dressed up in a leather jacket, and people were dressed up like as soda jerks and stuff.
Yeah, I don't know yet. I'm going to read the book, though.
Okay, read the book. Just so I'm saying this then for your benefit, then, so that you know, Charles, kind of that there usually is some sort of a theme that they have, and they have the ice cream social or whatever. It's a lot of fun that night, and then after a certain time, they open up the curtains. It's like the dealer's fair has begun, so it's a cool thing. Thank you guys very much for your time. Sure. Enjoy the convention. Scott. We'll see you guys later.
Enjoy.
Okay. That was Charles Bach and Kevin James. Scotty out. All right, as we're still in here getting our name badges and everything made, that I ran into a good friend, Max Krausen, that he is someone that invited me whenever I was in Oklahoma, and I had some of you heard the update that I gave called Current Events on a recent podcast when I was on my way back to Texas, and I came through Oklahoma, and I stopped in Tulsa, but didn't go all the way to Oklahoma City, but Max was over there, and I didn't know it, but he has actually a magic theater. So tell me something more about the magic theater.
It's actually a magic shop and a theater combined, and it's the first room of my house.
So you reside in the place?
I do, yeah. The commute's rough. It's really bad.
From
I gotta
the garage
get up, walk down the hall, and go to my show. Yeah. It's amazing. I have 20 seats. Mm-hmm. I do between six and seven shows a week, which is nuts. And I'm ranked number 2 for things to do in Oklahoma City.
No kidding.
Yep.
Like by TripAdvisor?
Yep, by TripAdvisor. The only thing higher than me right now is the bombing memorial. So I don't foresee me ever beating that.
Exceeding
okay
that.
With
no.
That.
Yeah. Wow. And so you said about 20 seats. And so it's just an intimate close-up thing and a lot of mentalism. I know that you do mentalism, of course. But
close-up and parlor. Yep. Yeah. Comedy, magic, and mentalism. I tie it all together.
You got a lot of original effects and things that I've always enjoyed and some really cool boxes and things that you make. So I assume that you have incorporated some of those into your presentation.
Absolutely. Yeah. Almost the entire show is original. So.
Do you ever bring in outside acts to come and work at your theater?
Not yet, but I may do that in the future. But the big plan is, like, when I had my business in Albuquerque, I'm actually looking at opening up a new venue in Oklahoma City, which is going to be bigger, better, badder, amazing. So looking at a 72-seat theater, a magic shop, 2 magic-themed escape rooms, and a party
room. That's a good
room.
Idea.
So
yeah.
It's going to be very, very
because
cool.
Escape rooms are huge now.
Exactly.
I know that Joe Givens is consulting for escape rooms. So if you need some ideas, you might check with him then also. But I like the idea of a magic escape room. That sounds pretty cool. Now, tell me again, when did you open the shop/theater?
I opened it March 23rd.
Of this year?
Yep.
So it is, okay, so it hasn't been there for a long time, so I didn't, okay, I thought maybe I'd spaced out and missed.
Yeah, I closed the shop and the theater in Albuquerque the end of last year, essentially.
Do you find that it helps to supplement the magic shop by having the theater in there?
So one of the things I did, and for anybody else that has a theater, you might want to take advantage of this, is I created VIP seats. And the way the VIP seats work is they're twice as much as the adult regular price ticket, so either $60 or $70. And half of that is money they can spend in my shop.
Oh, I see.
So it basically turned into a feeding frenzy because my VIP guests would come in to do shopping around, you know, the room.
Sure.
And everybody else would realize they could buy stuff too. So after the show, several people would stop and they would buy different things from the shop. So it worked out great.
So the shop, or as you say, the theater is in the shop. It's not separate.
Correct.
So you're actually among all the magic paraphernalia.
They can see it all around them, yes.
Well, that's kind of an interesting concept.
Yeah.
Okay, great.
Yeah.
Well, good. And the name of the theater?
Max's Magic Shop and Theater.
And is there a website?
Yep, 2. One is maxsmagictheater.com, and it's THEATRE. Mm-hmm. And then Max's Magic Shop, you know, spelled the same way, MAXS and SHOP.
OP with one P,
yep.
Not PE.
Okay. Exactly. Yep.
Okay,
yep.
Good. Well, good luck and congratulations.
Thank you, sir.
That. Okay.
Hope you can make it out sometime.
I do hope. I'd love to come up and visit. So from Magic Live, that's Max Krause. This is Scotty out. As we are walking around after we've been registered here, that I ran into my friend and yours, Martin Lewis. Hello, Martin.
Hey, Scott. How are you doing?
Very good. Good to see you. So we haven't talked since Harry Anderson had passed, and I know he was a good friend of yours.
Yeah, he was.
Were you at his service? Did they have a celebration of life service?
I was at the Magic Castle. I went to that one. In fact, I actually spoke at that one.
Did you?
But I couldn't make it down to New Orleans for the reception there, which is a shame because I would like to have gone. But
yeah, so they had one in both places.
Yeah.
Where was he interred? or did they cremate you?
I'm thinking in Nashville.
Oh, Nashville, where he lived. Yeah. Now, was he divorced? I remember he was married, and then he did a escape act with his wife, too.
Yeah, that's right. Leslie, yeah.
Leslie, yes.
Yeah. And then he divorced, and he remarried Elizabeth.
Okay.
And she was the love of his life and looked after him. And, yeah.
But he had one son from the first marriage?
Well, he had a son and a daughter from the first marriage.
Okay, then.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. Dash and Eva.
Dash was the name I remember.
Yeah, and Eva. Yeah.
Because Dash was, wasn't that Theo Hardin's nickname?
Yeah, but actually it was named after Dashiell Hammett, the author.
Author,
yeah.
Sure.
Yeah. Harry's a huge fan of the Maltese Falcon, so so that's what happened.
So what were some of the things you had said at his service?
I actually recited his unicorn speech, which he had given me years ago. He wrote a speech to accompany his finger rings.
Okay.
Finking rings.
easy for you to say. Yeah.
And when he retired it, he gave me the speech and the rights to use it, and he also gave me his Himba ring, which is an original Himba stagger ring.
Is it a signet ring?
The signet ring.
Okay,
yeah.
Sure.
And so I haven't done it for a while, but, you know, once you've memorized the...
Can you say it now? Do you remember it?
I can do it, yeah.
Okay. We'll stand over here.
Yeah, okay. It's a story of a peasant and a unicorn. Once upon a country road, a rather simple-minded peasant glanced at a unicorn three full times before he realized it was indeed that mythological creature that he had encountered. For at first, off in the distance beneath the trees, the unicorn looked like a rather poor statue likeness of a moose with an arrow shot into its forehead. But when he realized that it was indeed that mythological creature that he had encountered, the peasant, being of a rather skeptical mold, approached the creature both slowly and cautiously and took a hold of a golden chain that, curiously enough, hung around the creature's neck. Now, at that point in the routine, the rings are linked together.
Okay.
Now, there's a bit of banter between the audience, you know, oh, these rings, nice, you have to go home together, and all the jokes that you do with that. But there's redemption in the tale of the peasant and the unicorn, which you may remember from last week's sermon. See, the unicorn was newly captured, and as such, turned to the peasant and said, "You have the right of my capture to ask me three magical questions." "Well, what questions are those?" asked the peasant. "Well, there are any questions under the sun, and that is number one," replied the unicorn. "Well, what should I ask you?" asked the peasant. "That is up to you, and that is number two," replied the unicorn. Now, the peasant was a rather simple-minded fellow, but he was beginning to catch on.
Yeah.
"Number two," he said, "number two. You sort of see this one coming, don't you?" "You mean I've already used up two questions?" "No," replied the unicorn, "three. You've used them all." And with a tussle of a golden mane against the sun, she disappeared, leaving the peasant open-mouthed, clutching in his hand the three separate rings that had once held fast a dream. But the dream had fled, leaving naught but the silence etched into the breath before farewell. "I'll give these rings back."
Very nice.
Yeah.
And he had written that?
Yeah, that's his words. My voice, but his words.
Yeah,
exactly.
No, that sounded very good.
Yeah.
And now, you've been coming to Magical Eye for a number of years and have given presentations in the past.
Yeah.
Have you missed many of these or been to all of them? Or?
I think I've been to all of them except the first. Mm-hmm. And the first one, I found out about the convention, but already had previous commitments.
Yeah.
But since then, I make sure that I don't have commitments.
Yeah, you make point to attend this one. This is an important one. I think it's a lot of fun.
Yeah.
What was one of your best memories from a previous convention that comes to mind?
Oh, there's so many. But with all of them, it's more about catching up with old friends and meeting friends than it is learning new magic, because I'm 70. I don't need to learn any new magic.
I'm with you, brother.
Okay.
That's what I think it's all about as well. That is a friendship.
Yeah,
you know?
I agree.
Because
here
you get to see 1,599 of your closest friends.
Yeah, but people that I don't see once a year, you know. And as you get older, they start to disappear.
Well, and that's what I was going to say. That's one thing I appreciate about this is that my wife had recently passed after being married for 43 years, and the people who come up to me who are giving me a big hug, you know, and, you know, expressing their truest sympathy. And these are, as I said, they really are good friends.
Like
Cosmo just came by a minute ago, you know.
Exactly.
He knows. Yeah. And those who know, you know, it's difficult to go through. But anyhow.
Oh, of course, I imagine. Yeah.
So it's nice to have friends, and I just feel that, you know, warmth when I'm, you know, around groups like this, you know.
Yeah, 100%. Yeah,
it's great. Well, thank you very much.
Anytime, Scott.
Appreciate it. So with the Magic Word Podcast, that was Martin Lewis. This is Scotty out. All right, well, it's still Sunday evening in the first day, and that we are going to be going live, I think, and also with a FaceTime thing over there that Charlie Randall is doing. There he is.
We're on Illusion Vodka.
Yep.
If you want to go to Facebook on Illusion Vodka,
what
you can check
called?
Us out. Illusion Vodka.
It's
on Facebook.
It's on your Facebook page.
We're on Facebook today, yes.
Yeah. So that way that whenever you guys are listening to this on Monday, that you can go back, and it's going to be on there then forever. Anyhow, I'm here with Bob Cavuta.
Kavouras. Yes,
got it. Okay. I am excited about this because, as my listeners know, that martini is my drink of choice, and on Thursday nights in particular, it mixes with magic perfectly. And I was so impressed because, look at this. He has Illusion Vodka, and it is so smooth it's scary, as he says. And it is not just good vodka, but tell me about how that it's distilled. Is it potato? And how many times is it distilled, et cetera?
Well, we make it out of a Midwestern grain corn. We use a Chicago-based water that's highly aerated, supremely filtered, and then magically distilled to perfection in small batches. We've got the best tasting vodka on the market today. In one try, you'll know it from there. It's super, super smooth. It is the world's first vodka with an actual Illusion on the bottle. And I'm here to demonstrate
it. Show me this.
If you look through the bottle, there's a gold coin. And as you look through the bottle, it actually turns into a quarter. And it's kind of hard to see, but if you can kind of look through there, you can see that that gold coin changes into a quarter.
Now, for those of you, by the way, who are listening just over in Europe or wherever right now, that when he's turning at the front of the bottle, there is an ace of spades, or a spade on the front that is clear, that you can see through to the back of the bottle. Some of the other vodka bottles you might have seen like this. So in other words, when he turns it over on the other side, there are some cards, coins, and bills. So go ahead with the rest of what does it do?
There's several magic tricks on here that actually can be done through the bottle. So it's a great bottle, and there's a routine right on the bottle. These are magic tricks that are well known around the world. You can see them there. This spider will actually jump down to the web. As you look through the bottle, it actually jumps down to its web. And then, of course, these $20 bills here, they actually say the word magic on them, M-A-G-I-C right there. Each bill has a letter. As you turn the bottle, those $20 bills turn into dollar bills, as you can see right there. And what's really cool is if you wave your hand over these $20 bills, they turn into hundreds. Just with a wave of your hand, they change from 20s to 100s.
Is that cool or what?
It's the world's first vodka with an Illusion on the bottle. It's so smooth, it's scary.
It's very cool.
Would you like to try it?
Of course I want to try this.
Let's crack one open here for you.
I mean, just because the name is cool, you know, that the proof is in the tasting.
Yes, sir.
And so, as we will see right there. And, the Illusion also with the spider is kind of cool because you can add that to with your Boris the Spider, which I recommend if you don't have that app, that you should be adding that to your phone. And that is just a great walk-around thing, not just for Halloween. It's a cool trick, and it's built into the bottle, so you can actually do that. There's one of my favorite sounds. That's what I should be opening up my podcast with every week.
Just a little shake of the ice. And here, try this out. This is the best-tasting vodka you'll ever have.
All right, let me laugh.
I'll drink one with you.
All right.
So you don't drink alone.
Cheers to you.
Cheers to you. Thank you, Scott.
Mm-hmm. Wow, that is some case. Tasty good. I like that. I recommend it.
Very good. Thank
Very
you.
Good.
So smooth, it's scary.
Now, how long has this been in operation?
I've been on the market for a little over 3 years. I started the company out called Ace23 Vodka. That's what the original name was. Matter of fact, there's a three-bottle part to it. I'm on my second bottle. It's another trick inside of the bottles that's coming out. Haven't revealed them yet. I actually patented the label bottle that I have here for this magic trick that I invented. With a wave of the hand, the bottle actually does change from 20s to 100s. There's another bottle trick for the original bottle. If you have the original bottle, which we're going to be re-releasing later as we go on for magicians to buy these bottles that do bottle tricks, they'll be able to switch the bottles out, and it makes another creation. The original bottle was clear in the back. You could look through. You could see the whole image without having to look through the spade, and it had a different bill change. You changed $100 bills, and they went to 20s. The new bottle changes from 20s into 100s.
Which makes sense.
Which makes sense. And then the third bottle change eventually is going to be to a frosted bottle. It's going to be pretty cool.
The only other kind of liquor bottle I can think of is Sleight of Hand Cellars, which is a wine distill. It's a vineyard up in Oregon or the Northwest someplace. It's a very small run that they have, and I think it's really only available. Occasionally you'll find it some liquor stores, but they have a small run. You have to order from online. Now, what about yours? Where can you find yours?
just started selling this not too long ago. I just inquired and got the name Illusion Vodka switched over from Ace 23 Vodka. So we got our attorneys involved, found out that the name was available. We filed all our proper paperwork, got our name approved. And since then, I've been selling off the shelves as quick as we could put it on there. So it's been going really well. I'm already in two states. I'm in Illinois and I'm in Tennessee. In Tennessee, we're in Nashville and Memphis, and I think Knox it is. So we're in three different parts of Tennessee, and we're starting to grow even faster. My biggest goal is to get this in every state in the United States, and then hopefully around the world, because I believe Magic and Vodka go hand in hand because they've been around forever, and they're both internationally known. So I think that magicians around the country and world would love to have one of these bottles in their collection, first of all, because it is a great-looking bottle.
Even if you don't drink, you would want the bottle. That is a very cool bottle.
It is a cool bottle.
Yeah, there are tricks you can do with the bottle as well.
The great thing is that we are gluten- and sugar-free, so that's a great thing. I know a lot of big vodka companies out there made their name by being gluten-free, but we are gluten-free and sugar-free, which makes us a really great-tasting vodka. Super smooth, and that Midwestern corn really does a great job for us.
Now, do you live in Chicago?
I live in Chicago.
What part?
I'm in the South Suburbs, New Lenox area.
Okay, how far is that from Frankfort?
Very close, right next door to Frankfort.
I know where you are then.
Yes.
Obviously, I would think the Magic Castle would be one place. Have you talked with them about trying to start?
I have. I actually had a brunch with Milt Larson and Dale, and they really loved it. They were even thinking possibilities, as I grow, they want to come involved and get involved somehow, some way, and put their name, the Magic Castle, on the bottle so they can actually sell it at the Magic Castle.
Right.
I was hoping. I mean, I'm waiting for that day to happen. We're still kind of talking here and there. As soon as that happens, I'm hoping maybe this podcast will reach out to me and say, let's go. Yeah, it would be great. You know, I mean, Milt is a great guy, and it was a great story how I met him. I showed up at the Magic Castle, and I sat down at the Owl Bar, and there was an open seat, so I just kind of asked the gentleman. I said, "Sir, do you mind if I sit here?" And it was Milt, and I didn't know Milt. I've never met him before. And he goes, "Well, sure, but if my friend comes, you might have to leave." I said, "Well, I was just planning on getting a drink or two. I was just getting something to drink." He goes, "Sure, go ahead." So I sat down. He goes, "By the way, my name's Milt Larson." I go, "Well, nice to meet you, Milt Larson." He goes, "I do own this place." And I thought it was great. And I turned around, and there's this picture on the wall. I was like, "Well, nice to meet you, Milt." So we wound up having a bottle of wine or two. I'm not really sure, but we had a few bottles of wine. He invited me to come back, and we sat down and had brunch the next day. And they were great. I can't say enough about meeting the guy. It was phenomenal. It was a great experience. And I'm hoping that in the near future, maybe he will reach out to me and we can put the Magic Castle on here, and we could have this at the Magic Castle, because I think this would be a great product for the Magic Castle. Because even at the end, if they can't sell the liquor there, they could definitely sell the bottles, because I know people would like to take this home because it's a magic bottle.
Right.
I mean, you can actually do a magic trick with a bottle, and this is the first one in the world that has that. So
now, can you purchase just the bottle only online?
Not yet, but I was thinking of doing that. I haven't done that yet, but it's a possibility that I might be able to sell those on our website, which, now that you mentioned it, maybe I'll start that this next week. So maybe if you look on our website, we'll have bottles available that you can buy, and we'll ship them out to you, and that would be great.
That'd be a good idea, because a lot of people may just want to buy the bottle. Plus, it'd be easier to ship and not to want to buy.
Yeah, you wouldn't have to worry about the alcohol laws and things like that, so it'd be
right.
Really cool.
Shipping to kids or whatever.
Yeah, definitely, for sure.
Well, in Houston, we're going to be opening the Magic Island in November, and we're just remodeling and everything, and I'm the entertainment director for that. And
I would love to come out and have a couple martinis with you with the new Illusion Vodka there, and I'll bring plenty of vodka for us to drink. If we don't have it there yet, we'll definitely have some there in the future. That would be great.
And there's a great liquor store there called Specs, and Specs is huge, throughout Texas, and they're based in Houston. And matter of fact, they sell more wine west of the Mississippi than any place outside of California. It is just, it's a big distributor in there. If you were able to get in with them, it'd be ideal.
That would be ideal, and that would be something I'm really looking forward to doing. I plan on being in every state if I can, and around the world would be even better. So it's one step at a time. It's a small company trying to make it big. Hopefully the right person hears this and says, "Hey, I want to be part of that," and comes in and gets involved and helps me get there. Because, I'm really new at this. I've never sold vodka before. I sold cars for years, and I used to do all my magic tricks at the, at the dealership. And, I came up with this idea one day, because a friend of mine helped me out and got me to where I need to go and helped me get this started. And, to show you how dedicated, I even tattooed it right here on my arm.
Holy moly, would you look at that.
I got and I'm going to make a magic trick out of that where actually that gold coin will pull right out of my arm, so I'm working on that. The magic is a great thing, and I think this is going to really bring me to the next level. I really appreciate you guys giving me the opportunity to talk about my vodka today. It was definitely nice meeting you, Scott, and man, I look forward to anything I can do with you in the future.
Certainly.
That'd be great.
Yeah, this is great. I think a new friendship has been forged here. So that's
absolutely.
Great.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Thank you so much.
All right. And so from Magic Live and also from Murphy's Magic Supplies, who is one of our sponsors and today is our host, that I want to thank you again, Bob. And so for the Magic Board, this is Scotty out. So we're here at Murphy's Magic Supply Soiree, and we're having a lot of fun actually with a couple of guys who are filmmakers. One is George Hassarl.
Hello, George. Hey, everybody. How's it going?
And that he was the one who was the director of my At the Table lecture. And then also Michael King, which also, hello, Michael.
Yeah, hello. Nice to see you.
And Michael, that you may have seen some of his posts and things on Facebook, but we've been friends before that because we've met in Florida and other places. And I was just asking you about also about whether you like DC better than Marvel. You said maybe.
Yeah, like I said, I have friends.
You like
who are
Superman,
Marvel.
I guess.
I like Superman. I like DC, but as
yeah.
you know.
Well, and he's not in the Marvel universe, obviously.
Yeah, exactly.
But okay, so tell me, you said you've met Stan Lee. How did you meet Stan Lee?
Through Warner Brothers. I worked on the first Batman when it was reissued, 89, mm-hmm. and I worked very very shortly on that. But I met a bunch of guys at Warner, and it just led to more people and. You go to parties and stuff in L.A. and you just run into him. And I got to run out. And he's a legend. So
of course.
I just had fun talking to him. I'm one of those kind of guys that believes that success leaves clues in life.
That's leaves what?
Leaves clues.
Huh. Okay.
So I always listen to what people have been successful and how they got there. And I like talking to people who started all this, you know. And so that's what I do. And he was one of those guys. It's a great honor to sit and talk to him.
Does he seem like just a regular down-to-earth guy?
He was, yeah. Plays in fact, the night, is it Chuck Barris? The guy who designed the Batmobile. Barris, I can't think of his first name.
I was thinking Chuck Barris is the guy who did the Gong Show.
You're right, yeah. I'm thinking, but Barris is this guy's last name.
But he designed the Batmobile
for the Batman TV
series?
The one with Adam West.
Adam West, yeah. Okay.
And so it's funny, these guys were all hanging. They're all friends. And they've known each other. You know, that kind of whole universe, no pun intended, is, you know. They've known each other for years, you know.
So do you still see him, or you mean like...
I haven't. I've only met him a couple of times.
Okay, it's not just, like you know you have coffee every Friday. Or whatever.
I wish. In fact, I've been in Hollywood over 30 years now, and a lot of the older guys I met when I first came out, sadly, are going, and mm-hmm. so it's... You don't have them around as much as you used to. So.
Yep. How often do you get over to the Magic Castle?
You know... Probably once every 3 weeks.
Yeah.
I used to go like twice a week.
Because I think you came to see my show.
I did.
And speaking of my show, back to me. Because okay. George had directed my At the Table lecture, which you guys can order through the Magic Word podcast.
Check it out. Yeah, it's available at your favorite magic dealer. So whatever that is. Check out the magic of Scott Wells.
There you go. And but you do like two or three or four. How many a week do you?
Yeah. So typically, what we do is we'll do it on a bi-monthly basis, meaning two every month. Usually, it'll be on the first and third Wednesday of every month. And so we usually, when we film them, we'll film a number of magicians all at once. I think with you...
I remember there, Michael Lair and Losander.
Losander was there. Yeah, we had some really great, fantastic names. I think it was Luke Dancy hosting your lecture?
Luke did, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. And so Luke's always fantastic. If you've ever checked out his Facebook...
Weekly.
Yep, his Facebook Lives. Great character to watch on Facebook. Just an absolute... really great presence. Really fun to watch as well.
Yes, because I remember that Greg Wilson used to do this, and then Luke kind of took us over because Greg had other things.
Yeah, yeah. You know, Greg is just
very
such
busy
a
guy.
Busy guy, and so it's just tough to bring him in for a week stint at a time.
Right.
And so...
And Luke's part of
Murphy's Magic.
The Murphy's universe.
We just fly him in, and, you know, we all have a great time. You know, we actually work with Greg quite a bit, and we love working with him. I wish we'd be working with him more often on these at-the-table things, but... You know, unfortunately, just time doesn't permit
it. Sure. So once that you have all the guys together, how long does it take you actually to edit one video?
Well, as you remember, Scott, we actually do all the editing live.
Yeah.
So everything is fed into a system where somebody is operating a multi-camera switch, and so they'll push a button, they're on a close-up. They push another button, they're on a wide shot. They push another button, and we reset the roll.
You know, basically, it goes direct to digital.
Yeah, and it goes right to digital. And so the only thing we really need to do is watch it once just to make sure there aren't any weird mess-ups. And then it goes straight to a DVD or online, whatever your digital preference is that you want to buy.
Right.
Yeah.
Right. Yeah, because I remember talking with you. I think it starts like about 1 o'clock in the afternoon whenever I was starting to do mine. We had lunch. And then...
Yeah. You know, we don't actually have a set time just because it's what we used to do is we used to have live lectures.
Right. And people could actually
type in questions. And what we found was that it's really difficult to actually learn magic while you're watching live because you just can't pause it, you can't rewind it. And so if you're trying to learn like a certain move and you kind of lose pace with the lecture, as sometimes you do when you're learning something new, there's no way to go back. And so it's just a little less conducive to the whole learning atmosphere. And so we found just a lot more value being able to bring somebody in and doing it pre-recorded
and being focused on what they're doing.
Yeah. And that way we can actually provide a much better product and much better lecture without any, you know, flashes while doing any of the performances or anything like that.
Yeah. No, that is very cool, because I remember whenever I was talking with you about that, and you said ask about how long. You said, well, we usually finish up by 5 o'clock, and I said, well, I'll be done by 6, and you said, okay.
And I think you had a 3.5-hour lecture,
was
that right?
Yeah,
there's so much good stuff in there. So much good stuff. Definitely check it out.
Thank you. Well, I think there's something for everybody, regardless of skill level that was in that. I just, as I was coming into this party earlier, that someone had stopped me to say, hey, I downloaded your video, and I like the little thing you did with the sponge teddy bears. It was very clever on the routining of that.
Yeah.
Like, you never know. I mean, someone else said they liked something I did with the envelopes or whatever, you know.
Yeah, you know, I think it's exactly what you said. There's something in it for everyone.
And I think it's the same with all the videos.
Yeah.
Not just talking about mine. It goes across the board that whoever it is, I mean, even if it's just a card guy, there's going to be something. It's going to be difficult or easy or whatever that might just be up your alley. You just need to check them out.
That's exactly right. And that's one of the things that even I think you and I had talked about. You're asking about, okay, is this more advanced? Is this more beginner? And generally what we like to say is it's for everyone. Bring some stuff that are a little bit more advanced for maybe that the beginners can have to kind of strive after. Some stuff for maybe beginners so that they could act right after picking up the lecture. It's something they could perform really easily. And everything in between for all the intermediate guys out there as well. So really it is for, we try to bring in lecturers that could provide that sort of large array of...
Now, how do you go about finding these guys? Us guys.
Well, it's Facebook, it's Instagram, it's just kind of...
contacts and friends, and somebody says, hey, you need to...
Somebody says, yeah, you need to, hey, I saw this guy lecture, you need to bring him in, and then we'll reach out and contact and see what...
Because I was wondering if people might be listening to this saying, hey, I'd like to do an At the Table. How do they go about that?
Yeah, you know, you can always contact me, studio@murphysmagic.com, just hit us up and let us know that you're interested in doing a lecture, maybe set us a set list, kind of an idea of what it is you might be interested in teaching, and then we can take a look and go from there.
Sure. That sounds great. Thanks, George. Appreciate
it. Absolutely.
Michael, thank you very much.
As always. Nice to see you again.
Michael King and George Cesaro. This is Scotty out. All right, we're in the dealer's room, still here on the first evening, and there's a gentleman here that I've been wanting to get a hold of for a while, and just so happens to be at the Magic Convention, Jonathan Scott, one of the Property Brothers.
That's right. I stand out in a crowd. Being
you do. You're
almost
taller.
6'5".
I thought, well, yeah, that's not Michael Carbonaro over there. So.
Exactly. Well, nice to meet you.
Well, it's a pleasure to meet you then as well. So, as I said, I had heard that you were a magician, and you, I think you did something on, was it Today Show or something? I think on one of the talk shows.
A lot. I try and weave magic in anywhere I can. So I've put it into our shows before on Buying and Selling, on Brother vs. Brother. You know, one season on Brother vs. Brother, we had David Copperfield was part of the show. He put me in his show because I won that episode.
Here in Vegas?
Here in Vegas.
That's
and then,
kinda
then
cool.
Toured his museum. So it's nice. I just think that there's such an interesting history, and not just for the art, but how it's also just shaped creativity globally. So we, you know, we try and get it in anywhere we can. And every now and then, I'll do a charity show and I'll still perform.
Now, whenever that you're working, like, with people and, you know, renovating their properties, you ever work with magicians to say, or maybe put an idea, say, here's something you can do by putting this thing in the wall, or, you know, making the eyes move on the painting or anything
I have wanted so badly to put in, like, hidden doors
exactly.
and little traps and things like
yeah,
that.
Yeah, for bookcases and things.
If you know the shows, you know they don't even have usually the budget to do anything. So
yeah.
It makes it a challenge. But every now and then we'll put in something. It's the same because most people don't realize. So I started performing magic when I was 8 years old, and I've been performing performing since I was a kid, and then I started designing and building my own illusions when I learned that you can't just copy other magicians. You got to come up with some of your own stuff. And so that process, that's actually how I first started woodworking, first started metalworking, and that's what got me into construction, because that's
building illusions?
Building illusions was how I learned it. Yeah, I went to school for construction and design, but that was later on. I started woodworking when I was building my own illusions.
So have you ever really gotten into working more with electronic type of stuff at all, some minimalism type of things?
Yeah, so I've got some friends that do a lot of the technology side of anything that I would incorporate, and some of my illusions do have that. I happen to be very fortunate that an ex-girlfriend of mine, her neighbor, who was like an uncle, worked for the government, and they had a huge machine shop that built, you know, defense systems and things like that. So he actually built with their machines and their technology. He built a lot of props for me that were fully powered. Everything was, it was unbelievable. The precision that they had,
wow,
I could never do on my own.
Yeah.
So, you know, sometimes there's benefits to an ex-girlfriend.
Was she your assistant also?
No, she wasn't. She was a phenomenal dancer, but no, she wasn't actually. She was too tall for a lot of the props.
She wouldn't fit inside the boxes.
Yeah, exactly. You know, she was actually almost as tall as I was.
I was going to say, you're kind of a tall guy.
I know.
Like 6'4 or something?
Yeah, I'm a little over 6'4, yeah.
Okay. And so did you do, was illusions really your thing as opposed to doing close-up sleight of hand?
I actually started as a clown. I was a professional clown for many, many years. So at 8 years old, my brother and I, we went for a program. We started doing parades, then birthdays. And when I was about 12, I started doing more magic than clowning.
Was he doing clowning with you?
Yeah.
And you kind of like,
exactly.
So the Property Brothers, you were the Clown Brothers.
Could be the Clowning Brothers, who knows?
You could have a whole different show.
You heard the Ringling Brothers, kind of the same
sort of
thing.
That's right, there you go.
And then from there, I segued to magic. Drew got into sports, and he went that way. But I did everything from close-up, parlor, stage, you name it.
And when you perform, were they like mainly for local people, or did you companies or trade shows?
A lot of corporate stuff.
How big you get into?
Yeah, a lot of corporate stuff. I did do a big stage show, like a full Las Vegas style show with the dancers and pyrotechnics and stuff.
And where did you work at?
A lot of random hires. So, you know, I lived in Canada at the time. So when I was younger, I'd do some theater shows. Put myself in my own theaters. I've funded myself into some theaters as well. So it was a little bit of a mix, but I never did it where I was doing a full tour or anything like that. I was still working other jobs and doing other things the whole time.
And do you kind of wish that you kind of still pursuing some of that?
My dream was always to be a magician. That was my dream. I always wanted to do that.
And work Vegas?
And have a show in Vegas. I wanted to do a resident show here. That was sort of my dream come here. So, you know, years and years ago when I was a magician, I ended up getting scammed by another magician who was supposed to buy some old props from me, and he ended up stealing everything, and it put me through bankruptcy because I had invested everything into the show.
Wow.
And so I wrote about that in my book that I just put out last year.
What's the name of the book?
It Takes Two, and it's a story about my brother and I and how we got to where we are. There's a whole chapter on magic. So that was dream crushing for a young guy. I was in my late teens, early 20s.
Okay.
And so that's when I realized I kind of had to get a real job. So there was that part of me that died, but I've never let it go. I always still today, I perform when I can. I still design illusions, and I have friends in the magic world who build those illusions, and some of them who benefit from using the props. But it's a part of me that I'll have until I die.
And so you think that, Property Brothers is not going to last forever. You might do something.
These looks are fading fast, so, yeah.
How many years have you been on with Property Brothers?
Property Brothers is going on its 10th year.
10th year, goodness sakes.
Yeah.
Golly, I mean, you don't even look like, you must have been like 15 when
you
started.
You know, if I wasn't dyeing my hair, you and I are twins. So.
Okay, I stopped doing that a few years ago myself, actually. Well, it's interesting. And so, is there a different direction you're going to continue to go with, like what you're doing then right now as far as what Property Brothers has been doing?
So most people don't realize we produce a lot of shows that we're not in as well, so with other talent. We also have a very large furniture and decor program, licensing program, Scott Living. And then we also have other ventures. We're launching a tech venture this year and some of our charitable work. Yeah, so it's basically to help bridge the gap from people who see our shows, love our shows, but they can't quite pull the trigger and trust themselves to make the right buying decisions.
Right.
So we're curating designs and making it more of a community and a shoppable experience for people,
mm-hmm,
to take the stress out of home maintenance and design. So it's there's a few things that we have on the go, so it's not all reliant just on us doing our programming, but we love what we do. I'm amazed that we get paid to do what we do.
Isn't that amazing?
Yeah.
I think it's like as a magician also, you can't believe sometimes people pay you to do something you love, you know.
There's apparently a lot of idiots out there.
a lot of money.
Yeah, they
discretionary
say that,
income.
You know, family can't work together, and we've been proven them wrong since we started our first business at seven years old. So, yeah.
Now, when you were getting involved in magic, though, did you have like a parent that really kind of encouraged you then as well when you were 8 years old?
Yeah, my parents loved magic. They loved magic. They loved that
as a part
of it. Oh, still to this day, yeah. And so I was actually.
And where do you live?
I live here in Las Vegas.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
And so are they going to come to see the public shows? Or?
They won't. They live up in the Rocky Mountains,
okay.
So they're not coming in for this. But the I remember it was at a New Year's celebration in my hometown when I was a kid. I think I was about 7 or 8 years old. And I saw a magician perform, David Wilson, and you know, I thought this was the most incredible thing I'd ever seen in my life. He was just doing some small tricks, close up. And so I started following him around. It was like a shadow the whole night. I followed him around, and I saw him do the same trick, you know, multiple tricks, but over and over. And finally he turned around, and he's like, wow, you seem to be, you know, either trying to steal my tricks or you're interested in magic. I'm like, this is great. And he invited me to join the Vancouver Magic Circle.
Yeah.
And then I joined the IBM, and then that was, the rest was history.
Wow. Now, when you traveled or when you did the show, did you just do it kind of around the area? And you were living in Vegas at the time.
No, that was in Vancouver.
In Vancouver, okay. Yeah. But just kind of work around the Vancouver area then, or did you actually?
Yeah, so Lower Mainland as a clown, we performed in a lot of the suburbs and stuff like that, and then we started doing birthday parties. And then when I started transitioning to magic and doing more and more shows, I thought I was like a little David Copperfield. I thought I was the bomb. And
what was your stage name?
So my full name is Jonathan Silver Scott, so my stage name was Jonathan Silver.
I love Jonathan Silver. That sounds like a really slick name.
Magic name. So I did that for years, and you know, never took ourselves too seriously until I started doing the illusions. Then I thought I was the mom.
You were Copperfield.
Eventually I got humbled and realized it took a lot of hard work. So.
And then what did you think when you saw Copperfield's museum?
It was incredible, absolutely incredible. And you know,
I went last year. That was
it was wild because you know, as a child and watching some of my favorite illusions of his, Heaven on the Seventh Floor and whatnot. When I won that, and I went in. He actually pulled that prop out from storage knowing it was one was my favorite as a kid. He pulled it out, let me get up on it, and everything. I mean, it's unbelievable. It's actually, sometimes I shake my head and think, wow, the situations we find ourselves in because of the success of Property Brothers. And so we always try and stay grounded and realize that, you know, we're very, very fortunate, and it all comes from family who supported us in anything we wanted to do.
That's good, you know, because a lot of people often wonder about someone who is at a celebrity status, you know, if being a regular guy or not. So, you know,
Drew's a diva. Yeah, Drew, total jerk. Yeah.
He's going to listen to this, right? You know he's going to hear
that. I didn't say that. Anyway, well, thank you so much.
Thank you, Jonathan. I appreciate it a lot. This has been wonderful.
Thank you.
So the Magic Word Podcast. That was Jonathan Scott. This is Scotty Young. All right, well, before we wrap up for the evening over here, before we wrap up over the evening, we're still in the dealer's room over here, and that I ran into a friend who, many of you, of course, who listen to the podcast have heard me mention his name from time to time and making references to my friend who was a writer for Seinfeld and warmed up for Ellen and a lot of stuff. Please welcome Pat Hazel. Hey, Pat.
You say welcome, I'm here.
I'm glad you're here. Welcome. You're saying this is your first Magic Live of all the conventions.
I am.
So you've done a lot of other conventions, of course.
You know what? It's been 25 years since I was at a Magic convention, I believe.
No kidding.
I think it might have been a desert.
You've kind of been out of Magic in a way. I mean, yeah, you've been doing comedy writing. You were doing your show.
I write plays. I produce
producing.
Things. Yeah.
What was the guy's name that Colin... I thought you were producing shows for some other comedians.
Well, Larry Miller, and you know, there were other comics that I directed a show or produced a show for.
Yeah.
Now I'm working on a musical with a Broadway guy that's touring as a conductor for Broadway shows. Mm-hmm. So he's writing, composing the music, and I'm writing the song, the lyrics, and the play and all that. So I always different.
And you had a pilot TV show that was Bunk Bed Brothers.
I did.
Didn't that play like after a Super Bowl one?
Major League Baseball game.
Okay.
Like it was one of the final World Series games that it just aired on like the Mountain Time and Pacific because the game ran short on the East Coast and they said we're going to have some programming when they knew the game was going to come up short on the West Coast. So it was under the title The American Pie is what the name of the sitcom was at that time.
But which was before the movie.
The movie, but NBC did not like the title. They didn't think it was going to be a very interesting title, and then the movie came out.
How funny is
and
that?
And made a lot of money. But.
Yeah. Now, there was also a movie that you had a bit part in that has become a cult classic.
Yes.
What was that? Because people come up to you. It seems like you were like a businessman at like a Chili's or something.
No, it was. You got a good memory. It was called Waiting.
Yeah.
Was the name of the movie. It was, you know, about waiters and bartenders.
Yeah.
And it was kind of a, you know, I don't know, young, edgy thing. I was the one grown-up in the movie playing a businessman. But I occasionally get recognized I did Friday Night Lights for a while. I like did 6 episodes of Friday Night Lights.
I watched every one of those. Well, I remember that now that you mentioned it.
It was like the second season, and a kid had somebody was murdered. I wasn't in a big part, but I would go every, you know, I played a cop or detective or something.
And
I would
just,
you know. Yeah. But I never tell anybody. They just show up and people call in the middle of the night. Were you on a thing? You know,
because not the Pat Hazel, I know you look like
Yeah. So even my parents watched and didn't see me. That's how, you know.
Speaking of which, I want you to tell that story about when you were doing the straitjacket escape and they were in Hawaii.
Oh, yeah, that's a long time ago.
Well, we go way back.
I was just at the beginning of my college days, and I was, I wanted to do a publicity stunt, so I decided I was going to do the Houdini inverted straitjacket escape down in the Old Market.
In Omaha, Nebraska.
Yeah, which is, you know, used to be a former cobblestone streets where they sold fruit and all that stuff. But I found footage of Houdini doing it in that area, within a few blocks of that area, in archival stuff. And I thought, oh, wouldn't it be great to recreate this and then give the footage to the news of showing Houdini going up and me going. It was like all to get publicity. Like, I wasn't going to do this ever again. It was a one-off deal.
Yeah.
And I practiced a little bit. I hadn't really put it all together. And my folks were traveling, like for an anniversary. They went to Hawaii or something. So I didn't think they'd even know about it. And it ended up on the NBC Overnight News, Pacific Stars and Stripes, you know, newspapers in Japan. Like, the coverage was big. And my folks, it was kind of like Ferris Bueller's Day Off, you know. And it was fun. And I thought, oh, I'm never going to do this. But because it got all the PR, I was suddenly getting calls from, like, car dealerships in Vegas. Can you come, you know, get out, like, on Saturday? I was like, no, I don't want to do that. Then they had a show called Splash here, and they wanted and they wanted me to escape twice nightly and dive into the pool. And I was like, well, then they know I get out. Like, if it's twice nightly,
catch the next one.
Right. Yeah. I just never went for it because it was like not, it wasn't really what I was cut out to be. But the publicity worked, so I was lucky for that.
And your parents were a little bit upset.
They weren't totally upset.
They were surprised.
They were very surprised. You know?
That's our son.
Yeah. Yeah, it was funny. So, but I do that stuff still, and they're not surprised at all.
So you are here for the first convention in like 25 years, which I think is amazing. You know, I was going to ask you about fooling Slidini. You know, that because I remember you were doing like his paper balls over the head, but you were using coins or something.
Right. I will tell you briefly that I had not... I later discovered Slidini and his thing. I did the coins over the head in junior high and high school with a buddy.
Yeah.
Mainly because I had learned the French drop.
Yeah.
And I was good at it. And I would toss the coins to him over the shoulders of people because I would borrow their money.
Yeah.
And he would catch the quarters or whatever, and we would buy our lunch or our milk money. So his life depended on catching it.
Catching it,
Or no lunch.
Yeah.
But we didn't know about Slidini at the time.
So you invented something.
Well, I didn't really invent it. I just had this trick.
It was a con.
And it wasn't until later when I was doing an act that I saw it, and I thought, oh, we can make these coins bigger. We can whatever. And so there was a St. Joe, Missouri. I think there was a Fawcett Ross convention, like a... tribute convention or something, and we saw Slidini in the lobby of the hotel, and somebody sort of challenged me to do the trick to him.
Okay.
And we all know his principle, but the difference between the paper balls and the coins was noise.
Noise. Yeah.
So there was no suspicion that things were being tossed. So he was watching me in the lobby closely, and he assumed that I was sleeving.
That's funny.
And you know, he knew too much about magic in a weird way. So he was like, well, you know, you did that very well. Then I got to the jumbo coin, and same thing. He thought I was using a toppet because I, you know, was just gesturing and whatever.
Right.
And so I was now, of course, on the edge of both being nervous and also feeling like, I don't think he gets this. Yeah. So, at that time I used to use a trash can lid.
I remember that, right.
So the method on that is not throwing or anything, and they have... either my jacket or something is over it, and they're helping hold the jacket. And the pass-off is fairly clever. So I think it was like at that moment, he was like, what? What just happened? And then a very sweet moment came over him when I pulled the big coin out from behind his head.
Yeah.
And he looked up at me and said, I think I used to do something like this with paper balls. Like, And I was like, oh, I was like, I feel so good.
Yeah.
You know, and everybody cheered. You know, it was kind of a, wasn't a formal show. It was a lobby
display. Yeah, just an impromptu thing.
Right, but it grew. Like, a lot of people came and were hanging on the staircase and were saying, oh, how far will he get with this thing?
Yeah.
And literally 2 days ago, I found a picture with me in that lobby with Slidini pulling the coin up.
That's funny.
So,
it's funny we're talking about that.
Yeah. I'm glad you remember it.
But, you know, it's one of those, what convention was that, or where were you? Do you recall where that was?
Well, I feel like it was St. Joe, Missouri, and I think there was a, I think maybe David Sandy or somebody was producing a tribute to Fawcett Ross.
Probably.
I remember meeting John Carney and Michael Weber and Chris Kenner, and all those guys were young finger flickers.
Yeah, in their early years.
Yeah. So that was pretty, big highlights. Yeah.
That's pretty cool.
Anyway, thank you for checking in with me.
Thanks for walking down memory lane with me.
Yeah.
That's kind of cool.
Kind of got on the memory lane fast ramp there, you know.
All right. So for the Magic Word Podcast, we could have a long time chat. Maybe I should, you're still in Austin, aren't you?
I am. We'll have a chat sometime.
Come up and
we'll have a special podcast.
We'll do that.
All Pat Hazel, all the time.
All Pat the time.
Right.
For the Magic Word Podcast, that's Pat Hazel. This is Scotty out. We'll be right back.